Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix, news and advice on marketing, media and the web.
Welcome to show number 44 of Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix. The date is July 27, 2006 on a Thursday. Joining us again today is Billy Kirkley of In-House Business Solutions in Brisbane. Hello, Billy. How are you doing?
I'm great, Brendan. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Billy, today we're going to talk about how to spot trends and make the most of those trends in your industry, essentially being web-based, but for a lot of other industries. Can you talk us through how you spot trends within the web industry?
The way I try and spot a new trend is I don't look for the absolute latest fan or buzz or anything like that that's coming through. I sit back a little while and watch for a couple of months and see something that gets adapted a few times over by a few different developers or a few different clients, and see something that gains a little bit of momentum, because there's a lot of stuff out there that starts up, it's a buzz for a week and then fades out again.
Because I guess if it gets adapted and becomes useful for a much larger range of people, then it's got a lot more potential.
That's right. I mean, if you look at the early adopter bell curve, you don't look right at the beginning of the curve. You look just as about to start hitting the spike into the mid-range areas. Yep. And so what I look for is I read blogs, I look at industry mags, I check out the net, I see what's happening, I do searches on what's most popular at the time. And just from my general day-to-day business on looking on the web, occasionally I'll see stuff that I think, hey, I've seen that thing a few times now. I'll check it out. I'll see what's going on there, and I'll see what they're doing and why it's popular and what's making it popular. I mean, the same goes for any industry. If you're looking at spotting a trend, look at what people are talking about at the time. Find a need and fulfill it.
What do you see as hot right now?
Well, Google Maps is super hot. There's a lot of people talking about it. Yeah. It's definitely something that I see a lot of good ideas can be bought from it. A lot of good ideas have already sort of come from it. But I'm also seeing some great stuff on personal sort of space and file sharing and collaboration style tools and sites on the web. Anything from MySpace all the way across to sort of like Flickr photo sharing and those sort of sites.
I saw YouTube is to 100 million views a day, is it, of videos?
Look, that's
phenomenal.
There's video sharing stuff, and you know, it's any of that sort of, I guess, the ability to just sort of get your message out there online. I mean, even some of the blog sites, which have been around for years now, but it's that getting the message out there and sharing it across. And these sites are just doing it a different way, you know, using a good idea, but slightly changing the idea and delivering it in a different way that's unique to them, and the public are loving it.
Yeah. So with something like MySpace, how do you see opportunities there? Surely everything's already been done.
I think MySpace has sort of gone through that growth path. It's actually evolved into something that's there now that people are using. It's common. You mention MySpace and a lot of people have already know what it is and can find it. But you know, people are still making some great money out of just coming up with tools for it, and you know, gimmicks that you can put on your MySpace site. That's definitely where I'm seeing a lot of developers or even client base coming up with an idea that you can fit into a MySpace site, and you know, people are downloading the tools. And
so you pop it on your site, get a lot of eyeballs to your site, get people clicking on your ads, that sort of thing. Is that how they're monetizing it?
Well, they're using the old traffic is king ad age. You know, look at where the traffic's coming from and build a site that's going to take it.
I can think of a good example there is endurance athletes. I just did a race a few weeks back, and I've been looking at some of the running websites, and the guys are out there now. The first thing I had years ago was a heart rate monitor, but now they've taken it to the next step. They've got things called, I think they're called Garmins, where it's a GPS tracker that incorporates a heart rate monitor and a stopwatch and all that. It's only bigger than your normal watch, and it provides with an enormous range of tools for the athletes, so they can measure how far they've run, how fast they've run, what their splits were. Then they actually tie it back into Google Maps, which I really didn't think of, because then they can then download the data, tie it into Google Maps, and they can actually pictorially see where they've run and share it with their mates.
Yeah, well, that's a prime example of
that's
it.
An excellent example, isn't it? Yeah, that's a great example of another instance. Sure enough, it ties back to bloody Google Maps.
And look, Google Maps is, I don't think there's a limit of the ideas that you can come up with to use their map tool.
Yeah.
You think of it and it's going to work on it.
Oh, yeah. See, another good example was mobile phones. Whoever thought that people would make as much money as they do selling ringtones? There's just another little market that becomes available, is identifiable, and it can be monetized by people who are just a little bit ahead of the pack and go, okay, well, people are using mobile phones all the time. They're individuals. They want to jazz them up. How can we make money with that one?
And look, I think all of this is focusing on looking at what the individuals want and being able to just provide those needs. And that's what happens on the web, is looking for those trends, seeing what the wants are and seeing what the needs are and seeing if they're fulfilled. And if they're not being fulfilled, or if you think you can fulfill that need in a better way, to be able to deliver it. This focusing back on the web stuff, there's a thing called mashups, which is seems to be a bit of a trend word at the moment as well. And what that is taking two or three or four or five sources of information that are already out there on the web and combining that information in a useful mechanism into one single source of information by pulling all that information in together. And a perfect example of that is the site called housingmaps.com. Basically, the guy that's written that site has written his own a scraper or spider that searches through for all the real estate and rooms for rent that's on that Craigslist site. And he's recompiled that information using Google Maps to create a new site that combines those two pieces of information into a new site in a much easier way of being able to navigate and find houses for sale for rent. So that's a perfect example of a mashup. Another style of it is, Google's doing it with My Homepage. Like when you set up your own personal homepage now, you can put in different various pieces of information. You can get the weather and you can get the news that's happening on the latest newspaper site of your choice. You're taking other people's content and you're combining it onto a single location.
To make it useful
And unique, and you can then individualize it for a particular audience that's interested in a certain trend.
Can you take us through the process of how you review a trend and then say, yep, I'm going to attack that one and develop some tools to be useful there?
It's as simple as just using your eyes, looking for something that pops up regularly. You know, if you see a couple of good ideas, you go, oh, that's a good idea. And just holding it in your mind and waiting until you see it enough times that you think, okay, people are starting to pick that good idea up and they're running with it. I think we can look at a different angle of that idea, and I'll run through a thousand different ideas that I've generally had, you know, over the last few years, or I've spoken to clients that I'm dealing with it at any particular point in time. I mean, I find that stuff interesting, so I'm always looking for it. I'm always, you know, looking out to see those ideas. I mean, I read Wired magazine, or I read you know, other IT magazines that talk about trendy ideas, and I'll go and check it out. And from there, I might get a link to another site, then a link to another site. And, you know, within 45 minutes, I've seen 100 sites that have all got some pretty cool ideas, and I bookmark them all and, you know, revisit it at a later time.
That's great, because people share pretty openly on the web, don't they? Like, I've got about 100 regular blogs that I read most days, and some of the great ideas you can get out there. And on the web, it's not about the big guys who win. It's about the fast little guys who can win, because they're so much more nimble. They can identify the opportunities and develop those opportunities, develop those tools so that they can capitalize.
Jump on board straight away and get into it and nail it real quick.
Yep.
And look, that is definitely a thing. If you see something that you think, this is hot and I know how to apply it straight away, then do it. Don't waste time. Like, jump on that opportunity and make it. Then you've got to market it, though, as well. For me, I just have a natural process that I look through how it probably would work and play it all through in my mind as a picture. And generally, I can come up with the answer as to whether or not that's going to work or not, because I guess I've done it a few hundred times.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's obviously a combination of experience and knowing the industry and knowing the sort of things that have worked before. But for people who haven't done that, confidence is a really big thing, because you've got to have the confidence to go, well, that could work. Why don't I have a go at it?
Yep. Having a pool of web developers working with you also helps as well.
Yeah.
And that's probably another good thing too. If you can find if you're not a web developer yourself, and if you can find a reliable web developer that you can actually bounce that idea off, if they've got a bit of marketing nous, or if they've actually built sites themselves to actually make money on the web themselves, then they'll probably give you a good feel as to whether or not that's going to work, or point out the angle. I mean, that's how I do it. If I get clients saying we're going to solely make money out of the web and this is our idea, and they talk to me like that and say, well, you know, do you think it can work, or how do you see we can make money out of this?
Yeah, I think that's one of the really good reasons why people should get out of their comfort zone and go and interact with others in the industry, even though they're competitors, whatever, because you can bounce ideas off each other. You've got the same kind of industry knowledge and a lot of the same influences, and you get other people's input into it.
Look, you're entirely right, Brendan. Get out to conventions and meet your mates and competitors and listen to them. And it's a wonderful way of listening to ideas and seeing what's happening and hearing what's going on, because that's a great place to hear a lot of chatter about some great topics.
Yeah, I really think the web industry is starting to mature a bit in that way, in that they're going, okay, guys, this is a big industry. We've all got to work together and develop it for the best way we can for the good of everyone. And so they're starting to do that.
Well, look, the SitePoint site's excellent for that.
Yeah.
The forums there have got some fantastic things. I mean, I one of the forums I love looking in the SitePoint site is all the websites for sale. And there's some people there that are just blatantly lying about the success, but I mean, that happens everywhere around the world. I mean, you know, it's the old used car salesman story, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I love looking at that forum, because you see some really good ideas, and you can actually see over a period of time repeated sites that people are repeating, or there's different people selling sites over that period of time that are making money, that are getting the hits, and you can see it because, I mean, for that example, like, not only do they talk about it, but it's fairly simple. It's fairly easy using Elixir and a few of the other tools that are out there to be able to check out whether or not a site's actually moving traffic or not.
And the good thing, I think, about those sort of the SitePoint forums and wherever else, Digital Point is another one where they sell some sites, is that the guys who are visiting generally know what they're talking about and very quickly ascertain the true value of the site.
Yeah, most definitely. Like that's you get that, and they also flame the liars as well. So you can see pretty quickly when someone's not telling the truth. And it's actually worthwhile looking through the history of those sites as well. Like, go back a few months and find out, like, have a look over a period of time on who's talking about it and who's actually selling it and who's making the sales.
Yeah. Have you had a look at Plenty of Fish, Marcus Frin's site, the free dating website? Marcus is a Canadian guy, I think he is, and he set up a free dating site. You didn't have to pay to join, and now he's making his money from Google AdSense initially and affiliate sales.
Look, I haven't seen that particular site, but I know of another woman that set up her own free dating site, and now what she does is she reviews other dating sites. And then recommends people to go to those other dating sites, which are the obviously the ones that you pay for membership, and she picks up a clip for every membership that gets signed up.
Yep.
And I think she's got like 50,000 or 60,000 members.
It's just a different way of doing it. Yeah. Well, next thing I can see is the job networks, like seek.com.au here in Australia. You pay, I can't remember, $150, I think, for an ad or whatever it is. Why shouldn't someone develop one of those free? I mean, I'm sure there's sites out there already that are free, but brand it well, push the traffic to it, and reap the benefits of having that traffic.
Look, free's not a dirty word on the web. In fact, it's a very valuable word. I've just had a conversation with a client of mine just recently who spent $500,000 developing a book, and it absolutely crashed. Like, he'd lost the lot. And I spoke to him about it, and I said, well, look, we can do all of this on the web and you give it away for free and people are going to love it. And it took probably a good 2 months for him to come around and understand what you're getting, the value you're going to receive from that. Because the client base, the people signing up, the fact is that information has cost him money to create. But the thing is that it's now created and is valuable for people. And if he can give it away and get those people using that information, he's now investing in himself as a knowledge base for that information. And the next piece of information that he releases, people will probably be willing to pay for that.
Yeah,
I mean, they're probably going to pay. They should pay for the one that's out there. But the fact is that give it away for free to start with. You know, get them in.
Do you want to take us through a few sites that you know about that are popular that you can see some potential in for people?
Sure, I've got a list of them here.
You certainly have got a list of them.
And look, they're on different different topics, and I've just picked one or two from a few different areas. Now the mashup sites is probably the best one that I've seen. It's a site called Ning.com, N-I-N-G.com. And it's like a free online service for cloning. And you like just create your own homepage. And you pull in all sorts of different tools and pieces of information. So you've got your own web presence there.
Yep.
Now, I think that's great because... and what that's saying on the web now is that people want to customize their own experience.
Yeah.
And the web population now, they don't want to look at the way... They don't want to look at the web the way you want them to look at the web. They want to look at it their way. So this is a site that's giving people an opportunity to customize the web to suit them.
Yeah.
And again, that's a trend that I'm starting to see. And MySpace is another example, and the Yahoo groups and everything like that. Google homepages, Yahoo homepages, everyone, they're all starting to allow you to customize your homepage.
What I'm thinking there is that there's just so much information out there. People get a little bit overwhelmed.
That's right.
Hey, I just want to go where I usually go. I don't want to have to get through all the clutter to get there. So that individualization of the sites is certainly a valid one.
And so to think about that, like to put it in your own terms, is to think, how do you want to look at the internet? What's your experience? What are you interested in? And everyone else there is different. So if you can offer a experience that can be customized by the clients, then they're going to use it. And that's sort of the big mashup style of information I was talking about before.
Because these sort of sites have just, any of these sites we're talking about, have got so much potential. I'll just go back to MySpace. MySpace is only 2 years old.
That's right.
It didn't exist 2 years ago. And now it's the most popular website on the internet. It's absolutely massive. I think I saw the numbers the other day. It's got the most traffic out of all the websites.
Massive, absolutely massive. But what that goes to show is that it's the most popular site now. 2 years ago, no one had heard of it. 2 years ago, I bet everyone was thinking, there's no way I can break into the marketplace with a popular site. But that just proves that you can still today come up with a cool idea and be the most popular site.
Yeah, it's got to be cool, get a bit of buzz happening, and the word of mouth just takes it away.
Most definitely. So if anything else, I mean, at least that gives some hope to anyone with a good idea out there.
Yeah, exactly, and you don't need a lot of money. I'll take you back to that Marcus Friend with plentyoffish.com. He makes at least $10,000 a day with his AdSense, runs it from home with his wife, and that's it.
Well, Technorami, which is the blogging sort of pinging site.
Yep.
It was started on a server with an ADSL connection.
Oh yeah,
and you know, he's got that site pretty large now, and it's sort of one of the main ping sites for all the blogs out there.
Mm.
You don't need a big budget, you know. You just need a good idea.
Yeah.
So bookmarking is another thing that I think. Look, a lot of people are now using computers at work and at home and in the office and on their mobile phones. And again, something that's popular out there is just having a central location to store data, like as simple as bookmarks, you know, just a place to put all your sites. I've got a few here, like Blummy, BLUMMYE.com. I've said it again, BLUMMYE.com.
We'll stick that in the show notes, Billy.
Yep. Again, just has this really cool way of making bookmarks that you can go and revisit and get that information.
And then you can put the link to that on your other site.
That's right.
Your own personalised homepage.
Your own
then
personalised
you don't have
homepage.
To go typing it in, you don't have to go find it.
Well, see, a lot of these sites now push out RSS feeds of the stuff that you've done. So you can pull that RSS feed into your homepage as well. So what else have I got? Look, digital storing is hot at the moment. Well, actually, I've got two here that I should mention because both of them solve problems for me. eSnips is a site that you get a gig of space, and that's basically, it's sort of like a junk box that if you're searching around the web and you're like downloading photos, or you want to just grab some text and things like that, and you want somewhere quick to store it, and you're at school or you're at work, or you find something and you think, oh, I just got to store this somewhere and I'll pick it up later. It's just hard drive space for everything, and I find that great. I give it to my clients if they've got big files and they just need to store them somewhere. I'll chuck it up on that. YouSendIt.com. This is awesome because a lot of it's a mail client. It'll send attachments up to 1 gigabyte on emails.
Yeah.
So, because most mail gateways don't, and look, I hate to see people use anything bigger than a couple of megs in an email. I mean, it's just wrong, but it's just so accepted these days. People use it as moving files around that. I guess I'm just going to have to lie down on this one and accept that people are going to do it. And this one does it because you can get past your mail gateway, because most of the system administrators stop people from sending anything bigger than, say, 10 megs, up to a gig. Lots of, as many attachments as you want, and it's great.
And it's all free?
It's all free, totally free. Okay. Like, you just log on, send the file, and off you go.
Yep.
I've put a couple of mapping sites here as well. Like Frapper is pretty cool. This is sort of like a site where they're using Google Maps, and you go on a holiday and you plot all the places you went to at a particular town, and you upload your photographs to the little where you put the thumbtacks.
Yep.
And you can just sort of like do a story of, day one we went here, day two we went here, day three. Or if you're backpacking around the place and you want your family to know where you are, each day you can log in and sort of pinpoint where you are on the map with a few photos of the location. So, I mean, that's just another good idea for using, again, the Google Maps stuff, which is just popping up everywhere.
Now, all this is geeky sort of stuff. Do you see potential for web developers to sell some of this, the use of some of this technology with their own little angle on it, to non-tech people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Your local businesses.
Absolutely. Like, from a business point of view, you just use these ideas and do what the developers of these sites do, which is they've picked up an idea and they've given it their own spin or their own angle on it.
Yeah.
So with these sort of ideas that are out there, if you're talking to a client or a business or your business yourself, and you're saying, what would be really good is if we could fill this problem with this solution, and someone's probably come up with a similar solution, and you can use it as an example to sell it and say, look, here's the solution. I know I can build it. And it would be really good to use it in your particular business.
Okay. I mean, there's the real estate industry has taken up the mapping to a big extent, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think, again, real estate agents are one of those sort of not tech retard sort of industries where they're not really that, they use computers because they have to, and they'd much rather be, and look, no disrespect to any real estate agents that are listening, but generally there's a lot of people out there that are scared of computers, and they're the late adopters generally. It took them ages to pick up realestate.com. They're using it now. Years and years to convince them to do it. They're finally convinced to do it, but coming up with an alternative for them, it's going to be very difficult to change their set ways.
I remember in the boom talking to some real estate agents. They were selling, half, three-quarter million dollar houses off the web on a fairly regular basis.
They should be still doing it now.
Yeah, and that obviously got a few of them going and saying, hey, this is all right.
I don't think I know a single person that doesn't look for houses on the web.
Oh, yeah.
It's everyone
like jobs
does
now, isn't it? Everyone, you do your research on the web, and it's a world.
It's definitely a proven product, but it's one of those industries that I think they're difficult to churn. They're difficult to get them to go and use something new, just because they've spent so long learning what they've learned.
I don't want to change,
you know, and there definitely are forward-thinking guys within the industry, but as a whole, it's one of those hard industries to change.
Correct. The other big one I see, Billy, is travel agents. Mm-hmm. In travel agents, they're like dinosaurs. They've got to become extinct. Everyone's booking their accommodation online. Everyone's booking their airfares online. I saw some stats months and months ago from the UK that showed that for the first time ever, online sales had overtaken sales from travel agents.
If I was a travel agent, I'd be picking up the phone and calling either you or me. Mm-hmm. So we can come up with a solution for them, because they really do need to reinvent themselves, and it's very easy to do, but to definitely look at reinventing yourself, because the web is it's made the world smaller, and it's the conventional travel agent is becoming very obsolete.
But there's enormous opportunities out there for travel agents now.
Massive opportunities. And it's just as simple as just looking at what your industry is and applying these new techniques to it, which is the information gathering techniques.
I'll give you a quick story there. I was in Paris earlier in the year and we wanted to fly to Rome. So we zipped into a travel agent in Paris and said to the woman, hey, we want to fly to Venice. We want to fly later on this afternoon if we can. And she tut-tutted it and told us how expensive it would be and came back with a quote 2 minutes later, which was $1,000 each, about 700 euro, whatever it was. And we thought, oh, that seems a little expensive because it's not a long flight. So a couple of doors up was the internet cafe. We jumped on the internet cafe, jumped online, and we booked the flights for $60 each, as opposed to $1,000. Now, the travel agent misses an opportunity there to make the sales. Then while we're online, we also used What If, and we booked the hotel in Venice. And that's another commission the person's missed out on. Whether just because they don't have the foresight to implement strategies to provide great value to the person walking in the door.
Well, that's all about simple marketing, isn't it? That you've got a client right there and then, and you need to be able to service their needs, listen to their needs, and to be able to deliver to those exact needs right there and then. I mean, you didn't need to spend $2,000 on airfares. What you needed was a cheap, quick airfare and some accommodation.
Yeah, pretty easy. We'll wrap it up there, Billy. Got anything else to add that you think would be useful to listeners on the Web 2.0 stuff and the mashups?
The only thing I've got to say is just look at what's current at the moment, what's cutting edge, and just start to change your thinking on what you know and add to it with some of the new style of technologies that are being used in the Web 2 information.
Okay, so be informed. Get out there in your industry. Find out what's going on. Read blogs. Check out current affairs. Get immersed in the web technology and see what's new, and then move on from there. So be informed. Then try and spot the new trends as they come up. Well, not so much spot the new trends, are you saying? I guess you're saying more identify which trends are going to remain strong and going to continue to grow, so they're not just a fad, and then come up with ideas to take advantage of that very strong trend now that has already shown that it's got legs for the longer term.
Exactly.
Okay, then get a bit of a network going so you can bounce ideas off other people. If you're a web developer or anyone in business sitting there, you're in a vacuum, you've got to get out there and talk to other people to get those ideas, to get inspired, to get motivated so you can move forward with your business. And the other thing, create your own spin on the idea was the big one that you said. And it's so true, and it doesn't have to be a big deviation from the original idea, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to be. And look, once upon a time, when I you'd see an idea and think, oh, I can do it better than that by doing it this way, I used to think, well, why not even come up with just another, your own original idea? But on the web, it seems to be accepted that you grab an idea and you add your spin on it, and that's very acceptable to say, well, this is our way of doing it.
And there's so much potential there, because I think I'll just get back to MySpace. Didn't they just come up with an app where you can SMS your friends from MySpace account to the person's mobile phone? I assume that's how it happens. I haven't had a look at that one yet.
I don't know. Is it free, or do you got to?
I think it's free. Yeah, I think it's free. I'll check that one out. I'll jump on my MySpace profile and check that one out. Have you got a MySpace profile, Billy?
Yes, I have actually. It's not under my name though.
I bet it isn't.
It's just an alias.
Big Billy.
Big Billy. Yeah, something like that.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming in again. Great. We had terrific feedback when you were last in, and I hope that's been of use to our listeners. We've got obviously a predominantly web developer and web savvy audience, and there's some great ideas I think there for them to make money. We'll finish off with one last tip from them, Billy. How would you suggest they make money with some of this stuff? The big tip.
Well, I don't think this is going to. I think this will be a long-term payoff. You've got to look at these new technologies and think how the search engines are going to actually list and spider some of the new sites that are delivering the RSS feeds and all that sort of stuff. And I think start looking now for search engines that are going to spider RSS feeds and how they're going to do that, and have a look in that. In those areas, and that's my tip, is that Google will start doing it, but you've got to look at how they're going to do it and think how they're going to do it and plan for it now.
Yep. Okay. Well, thanks for your time, and that will wrap up the show. So bye for now.
Brendan Sinclair's Business Myths, news and advice on marketing, media, and the web.